Good morning. One thing I want to start with this morning is don't hesitate to just stop me and say the sound's not working right, whether we need to turn it up. That's what John and anybody that works the Johns and anybody that works the AV room knows. It's always a constant paying attention to what's going on. So don't wait till the end of the class and say you didn't hear me, unless, of course, last week the lesson was on hearing. So maybe it was to help me understand the point of the lesson a little bit more for me to find out afterwards that I wasn't being heard as well as I need to be heard. I shouldn't say it that way. As well as we needed to hear what Scripture was saying. Definitely not needing to hear me, but our class and what we were trying to learn. So just simply, and I'll try to move my head around a little bit more, and I see a hand up, just let me know. I'm not hearing you, John, and the other Johns will help make sure we get that adjusted. So right now, we're good? We good? Can you hear me okay? Okay. Everybody? Good. All right. And thanks to the Johns for helping with that. Our class this month, our focus has been on the passage from Isaiah, Isaiah 6, verses 8 through 10. Excuse me. And beginning verse 8 in Isaiah 6. Of course, Isaiah has just seen the Lord, which we can't even begin to imagine what that vision for him would have been like. But in verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and say to this people." So what the Lord was telling Isaiah to go to say to the people is the passage we've been studying. And what's, I think, very special about this particular passage is not only do we read it in that setting with Isaiah after he saw the Lord, but then Jesus cites that passage when he first begins teaching the parables, when he explains to the disciples why he's teaching in parables. He cites that passage for the reason. Of course, that's a passage we looked at last week as we thought about hearing. Then, at the end of Jesus' ministry, and you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to John 12 and 13, be where we'll be at this morning. Well, I say where we'll be at. As we've done before, I'm going to show you a lot of scriptures. Obviously, we won't have time to go over every one. I encourage you not only to read them on the screen as they come on each slide, but jot them down and go back and think about them some more, study them some more, because as with any given scripture, there's so much to learn, given not only what the words say, but the context that it's in, the passage that it's in, the words before and after. So I always encourage you in your Bible studies to do that, in your individual Bible study. So the passage that we'll look at in John is today, this morning, is at the end of Jesus' ministry. He cites that passage again, and I think it's very interesting to see the things surrounding that in the context of why Jesus then cites that passage again at the end of his ministry. And as we do that, as we study that passage, we're going to think about understanding, the word understand. See, hear, understand. So that'll be our focus this morning, and then, of course, next week, turn. See, hear, understand, and turn is what we'll then do next week. But before we get into our lesson this morning, we want to have a prayer. John Hewitt's going to lead us in our prayer this morning. So, prayer request. Chase? Yeah. It's always many people impacted. We so often take things for granted. You know, we're thinking about the heat probably coming up this week, but nothing compared to fires, the storms, the hurricanes that people go through. And so always be mindful, of course, what people go through. And as Chase mentioned, in particular right now, Canada and California. Any others? Yes, kids going back to school, kids coming here. We'll have some visitors here this morning that will be coming to school around here. So, of course, their families and those kids. Johnny? Yvonne Tindall's in the hospital now? Oh. Okay. Sorry, I didn't know that. Yvonne Tindall broke her hip and in the hospital. Surgery today, you thought? Or tomorrow? Okay. Yeah. Connie? Okay. Connie's sister, Kathy Chamber. I'm sorry, Kathy Taylor. And cancer surgery on the 28th. Okay. So, let's see, what's today? The 20th, so a week from tomorrow. Okay. So Connie's sister, Kathy Taylor, cancer surgery a week from tomorrow.
A little better news, Dennis, had to go back to Quail Creek yesterday. Dennis Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So he's improved with us.
Yeah, that is good news, yeah. Dennis Smith back in Quail Creek, so he's improved. It's good. Any others? Okay, let's all bow our heads together then as John leads us in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we're humbled to be able to speak to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're especially thankful for all the blessings that you have given to us. We're thankful right now of the Lord's day, of your day. This opportunity to sit and learn more about you, to be taught and to educate ourselves on how we should be. Dear Heavenly Father, be with John as he teaches us and help us to have receptive minds. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this congregation. We're grateful for all the people that worship here. We're especially grateful right now for the teachers and all the preparations they have made to help us. Dear Father, we're grateful for our ministers, our elders, and our deacons that work tirelessly for us. Dear Father, help us as a congregation to work for them. Dear Father, we're mindful at this time of people who aren't as lucky as we are, who can't come into a cushioned, air-conditioned building, and we're thinking of the people overseas, our missionaries. We ask that your blessings on their efforts and keep them safe. Dear Heavenly Father, we have those of our numbers who aren't able to be with us here today, and we're especially mindful of them. We ask your blessings on them, and we're grateful that for the good word on Brother Dennis, and be with the others of our members. Be with Kathy Taylor and be with Yvonne, be with Clarence. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with all those on our prayer list because we need to be watching for them, and we ask your blessings on them. Heavenly Father, we ask a special blessing for those in Hawaii and in Canada with the loss of everything. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those in California and ask your blessing and protection for them. Heavenly Father, as we begin another school year, help us to be a welcoming congregation for our visitors. Dear Heavenly Father, look after our children and keep them safe in other places. Dear Heavenly Father, we're most grateful for your son and his perfect life and his sacrifice for us. We're grateful for your sacrifice. We're grateful for the love that it showed to us and help us to reciprocate. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for what all this means to us and the opportunity we have to reconcile with you and to be with you later on. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. Okay, JD, don't move to the next slide yet. I need to preface it just a little bit, and I'll give you the go-ahead. I think it's pretty fitting that we focus on the word understand this morning as our kids and our educators go back to school this week. So as a former educator myself, I was thinking, well, how could I illustrate understanding? How could we talk about understanding this morning? So this is going to be an attempt at that. Now, before I have John show you this next slide, I want to prepare you because I understand with a group this size, there's all kinds of experiences that people have had with school and with subjects, particular subjects and teachers, good and bad. So I don't want to cause anybody to get too anxious when they see this next slide as we go through this. So bear with me, and I'm praying for strength for you to get through this next slide just fine. Okay, so we're going to start with a little education as we try to illustrate understanding. So we're going to go over the three R's. Before he puts it up, though, anybody know what the three R's are? Is that showing my age a little bit?
Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I, not to get into any, of course, any discussion whatsoever about education, but that would be my, if I could wave my magic wand, we would just, that's what education should be, reading, writing, arithmetic. But that's my opinion, but we won't go there. So we're going to talk about the three R's. Go ahead, J.D. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Okay, so begin with reading. Anybody? I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, so don't feel like I'm going to be that teacher that points you out even though you didn't raise your hand kind of thing. Who can tell me, as we think about reading, what's that first? Well, tell me what it says to begin with. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. And then Ginger's already wanting the gold star for class, so she's already told us what what it means. And I think also it could be good morning, too. At least in my little translator on my phone, I entered good morning, and this is what came up. So maybe, of course, as you can tell, I'm definitely not Spanish background, but reading. Okay? Write a persuasive essay. I'm not going to have you do that, so don't get too nervous on me. But if you were to write a persuasive essay, what's that even mean? Right, trying to convince someone of your point of view about something. Okay, so that you can just kind of fill in the blank. What would you like to write to someone about talking them into your point of view or explaining your point of view, persuading them to see things the way that you see them? So that, of course, that would involve having your ideas of what that means to you, and also you'd have to think about, well, who are you giving this to? Who's your audience? Who's your person you're trying to persuade? Because you'd have to have an understanding of that person and how they thought. Be familiar with some of their thoughts so you could address maybe those points as you tried to persuade them what you wanted to do. Back to the Buenos Dias, obviously what do you have to know to be able to read that and understand that? Yeah, you'd have to be able to translate, understand the other language, understand what it means. Okay, and then of course got to have arithmetic. I was a math science teacher for a little while. I know at least one person in here that already has the answer to that last question. Maybe more of you, but what is the area of this isosceles triangle? What would you have to, again, don't panic. I'm not going to test you on this. Not going to hold you accountable to knowing the answer, even though I'll be curious here in a moment who already has it. But what would you have to know the answer to that? You have to know a little geometry? What? But at least you know what you would have to know. And that's important, isn't it? In understanding, you have to begin with, what do I have to know? what do I have to know to understand that? And Julie admitted, I don't know geometry, but I know I'd have to know that. That's important. What else? I guess that probably comes down to it. That's it. But I might throw in a little what? Besides geometry? Algebra. I have to know some algebra too. Okay? Who already has the answer? That wants to say it out loud. No, I mean the final answer. Okay, let's go there though. Ron's right. Close. Ron's right though. He said, if you didn't hear him, he said length times width. There's, when you think about a triangle, where the formula comes from has to do with a rectangle, is one way you can look at it. So that's where he got length and width. So we actually, in this case, would have to know the height of the triangle. But if you put a line down the middle of that triangle, split it in two, flip the side over, you would have a rectangle. That's where Ron's getting the length times the width. Okay? If someone else said something a while ago, or do you have an answer? Pardon? I don't think so. And I'm still on track. I make sure I have my math teacher double check me here. I don't think we're there yet. Right. Jerry? No. I definitely appreciate the effort though, because you're thinking, you got in your mind, how do I come up with it? How do I get it? I didn't intend maybe to spend this much time on a math problem in class, but okay, and those are the ones I don't want to put on the spot. Don't want to embarrass anybody here, but just for fun. No. Of course, maybe I should have double checked myself. Yeah. And you want to go ahead and kind of explain how you got that? No, you don't. That's okay. I won't put them on the spot. Okay. If you do the height of the triangle, you have to use algebra. You have to use what's called the Pythagorean theorem. Okay, which is a squared plus b squared equals c squared. And the 13 is the c squared. Half of the 10, which is 5, is the a squared. So your height is 12. The height of that triangle is 12 centimeters. Okay, so if you take half the base, if you can just imagine splitting that triangle in half, you got 5 and you got 12. And back to the geometry, the formula for area of a triangle is 1/2 base times height. So 12 times 5 is 60. Half of that is 30, but we've just split that in two, so you got 30 and 30, which is 60. Okay? If you were interested in knowing even what the answer to that was. The whole point of this, of course, is notice what we had to go through to understand the area of that triangle. We had to use geometry. We knew it was related to length times width because half of base times height is half of a rectangle. Half of it. And if you flip the other half of the triangle over, you've got a rectangle. So Julie recognizing the geometry, Ron recognizing the relationship between finding the area of a triangle and a rectangle, and then, of course, knowing how to get that height of the triangle. Anyway, the whole point, I know that was way more math than we wanted to do on a Sunday morning in our Bible class, but the whole point was for us to understand how to come up with that answer. Okay, so whether it's reading, writing, arithmetic, reading, you had to know Spanish. You had to know how to translate to be able to read, to write something persuasive. You have to know what you believe, and then the other person that you're trying to talk to, how to get them to understand. And then, of course, the math. Sorry, I didn't intend for us to spend that much time on one math problem this morning. But you have to understand. How do we arrive at that answer? So guiding questions this morning. As we go through our study this morning, I want you to think about these questions. They'll be on the next slide up. Can we see and hear but not understand? We mentioned this last week. Can we? Can we see and hear and not understand? Yeah, we can.
I still don't understand that.
Yeah, I tell you what. I need not to move around. I know this is going. If you really want to know, I can help you understand after class. Let's do it that way. Am I back okay? Sounding okay? Okay. But we can. We can see and hear and not understand. I mean, just what you saw a while ago. You saw the triangle. You saw the question. You heard me. And even after we went through it, as Julie pointed out, I still didn't understand. But I think I can help Julie after class if she really wants to understand. I think I can help her understand. That's okay. We got more important things to do after class, don't we? Anyway, we can see and hear, but not understand. And I think that's what's so important about our passage that we're studying. As Isaiah was directed to tell the people, see, hear, understand, and turn, as we're going to talk about turn next week. And the progression of that, I think, is so important as we do that. How do we understand? We kind of went through some things just now of how we understand, what it takes for us to understand something. How much does our motivation impact our understanding? This is, for me, as I worked on this study, this is probably one of the questions that stood out for me personally more than I don't think I thought about as much. In other words, am I motivated to understand? Do I want to understand? Do I make the decision to understand? Once I see and hear, do I want to understand? Do I want to know more about it, understand what it means and why it means? How does truth relate to understanding? Yeah. How does truth relate to understanding? As we decide to understand, we make our decisions of understanding based on a lot of things. And of course, one of our main goals this morning is, are we basing our decisions on understanding because of truth? Is truth the main thing that drives us to understand?
It's your next question. You have to understand what is truth.
Yeah, what is truth? Question Pilate gave Jesus before they sentenced Jesus. What is truth? And I, you know, we've talked before, you guys have been in classes before where that passage came up, and we often wonder what was Pilate's context? You know, what is truth? Like, I don't believe in any kind of truth. What do you mean, what is truth? Or I'd like to think in some ways Jesus planted a seed there and Pilate thought maybe really did think, what is truth? Maybe that was the first time Pilate ever thought, you know, there's truth. Maybe Pilate was being facetious, but we don't know exactly how he said what is truth, but we know the question was asked, what is truth, which of course is the question we should be asking. So, quick review of Isaiah. I know we didn't even watch our time, because as I said, spent more time I should have on math. Yes, yeah. I think that example of Spanish that we gave was a good example of that. That's right. That's right. And in fact, when I was trying to pick out which one to give as an example, I was looking at some other languages, and I thought I better just stick. I can kind of halfway say Buenos Dias, but when I was looking at Good Morning for Italian, and I think French, the closest thing is Bonjour or something. Yeah. So maybe I can halfway say that, but the Italian or Russian or Chinese, I didn't even try those, Chase, because I... Hola, that is an easy word, isn't it? Hello, I should have used that one, Chase. That would have been easier for all of us, wouldn't it? So Isaiah means Jehovah saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Of course, I won't reread all these things, just have those up there to remind you about Isaiah. A couple of things I do want us to review, though. Remember, after Isaiah saw the Lord, he says, "Woe is me." In the previous chapter, he just pronounced all the woes on Judah. Chapter 5's beautiful chapter in terms of the Lord's vineyard. But of course, what was happening to the Lord's vineyard was represented, of course, by the wild grapes, which meant the sins of Judah. That, of course, was the ugly, ugly part of that. But the Lord's vineyard, a beautiful thing. And of course, the people of Israel were basically destroying the Lord's vineyard with their wild grapes, which represented the sins of Judah. So Isaiah pronounced all the woes on Judah, but then when he saw the Lord, he realized his state as well. Woe is me. And so he went from seeing the Lord sitting upon a throne, and for time's sake, we won't reread that passage, but I encourage you to do that. And of course, when he sees the Lord, he recognizes, the Lord says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then Isaiah immediately, because of seeing the Lord, says, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people." Of course, after he had said, "Woe is me." So that led up to what he said to the people, which of course is what we're studying this morning. So I think we need a little context. To me, this is one of the, we're not there yet next week. Of course, obviously, we're going to learn a lot from what Paul said when he cited this passage at the end of Acts, when we're going to focus on the word turn next week. But this passage, when you think of Jesus citing this passage again at the end of his ministry, is extremely powerful. And I won't be able to do it justice, but we'll let, of course, God's word speak for itself as we think about this. But I want us to go ahead to the next slide. I want us to think about the context before we actually look at this particular passage and then see what all we can learn from it as we think about understanding. Jesus knew it. Verse 1 of 13, if you're at your Bibles now, we're chapter 12 and 13. Of course, where he cites the passage is kind of toward the end of chapter 12. But notice chapter 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come." And if you back up to chapter 12 and verse 23, Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." So we're at the point in Jesus' ministry where he knows his hour has come. He's at the end of his ministry. He's about to go through everything he's going to go through for us. So that's where we're at this point in time. So we've got to keep that in mind as we think about him citing this passage again. And then chapter 12, verse 36, actually the second half of 36 and verse 37, "When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe." So actually, when I say Jesus cited this, it's actually John in his writing was citing this passage in this point at the end of Jesus' ministry. It's probably the better way to say that. Because then, as we're going to get to verse 38 through 40 here in just a minute, want us to think about that. So then, verse 41, John writes, "Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him." So there's not only this passage that's cited, but there's another passage in Isaiah that's cited as well that we're going to look at. And then verse 42 says, "Nevertheless, many of the authorities believed in him." So then we're going to get to, and I want us to spend just a little bit of time on verses 44 through 50, because when we think about 44 through 50, and I'm not going to have that on the screen, we're going to look at our Bibles and read that together here in a minute. I want us to think about that passage specifically in the context of this passage from Isaiah that John cites. Actually, John cites, I've incorrectly said that. Jesus doesn't cite that, but John cites that passage within this part at the end of Jesus' ministry. So when we think about back to verse 30, at the end of 36, when he says, when Jesus had said these things, he departed, hid himself from them. And then the passage we're going to read here in a moment, and then Jesus cried out. So scholars are kind of unsure exactly the timing of this, but we know this all happened then before the Feast of the Passover. And of course, as you know, with chapter 13, we're talking about when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, which is, of course, an extremely important part of the ministry. But this leads up to that time. So for time's sake, I encourage you to think about those things. When Jesus had said these things, read what was prior to that in verse 12 and think about, of course, that between the triumphal entry. Remember, chapter 12, verse 12 is when the triumphal entry was. And then those things where Jesus is saying, some of you may have the little headings in your Bible, beginning with verse 7, the Son of Man must be lifted up. So Jesus is saying these things. And then verse 36 again at the end, when Jesus said these things, he departed, hid himself from them. So then John inserts here, gives us some more explanation of the context of Jesus saying these words, and then leading up to verse 44. Now here's the passage, you know, one of those things where I say, if you only get one thing from this morning's class, make sure you get 44 through 50 that we're going to read together. Beginning of verse 44, and again, keep in mind, this is all in light of what we've just said. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So when you think of that powerful, wonderful passage, that sums up Jesus' whole ministry, doesn't it? When we're trying to think about all the things Jesus taught and all the things that he did, that part, I'd encourage you to read that as often as you can. That sums up Jesus' ministry. So when we think about that passage, then think about John inserting here that passage from Isaiah that we've been studying. And also think about the word we're focused on this morning, understand. Okay, when we think about the passage Isaiah that Jesus cited when he was teaching the parables that we studied now going 3 weeks in a row, and we think about it specifically this morning, think about the word understand. When we read 44 through 50, we should understand what understand means, number one, but understand what Jesus was trying to tell us and what he was here for and what he's done for us at that point, then what he was then going to be able to do. And then that leads into Jesus knew his hour had come, verse 1 of 13, and then we read the story about washing the disciples' feet. And then, of course, as you go through the rest of John, of course, the times that occurred then after that. So keep that in mind then as we go to our passage then, verses 38 through 40, so that the word spoken of the prophet might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's a question. Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Remember last week we talked about basically two groups. Either those that see, hear, understand, and those that don't. And of course, next week, there's the most important step of turning once we see, hear, and understand. And that's what the prophet Isaiah was saying to the people then. It's what Jesus is now saying to the people now as he's lived this life here on earth. and he's tried so hard. Verse 44, and Jesus cried out and said, and then he sums up his ministry in verses 44 through 50 and was saying, this is what I've been telling you. Here it is. And of course, as Isaiah the prophet prophesied, there would be those that got it and those that didn't. So of course, let us be those that do. Proverbs 2, the next slide, Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. We looked at this slide, or this passage, and for time's sake, I would just encourage you to make a note to go back and read this. I want you, because we're, of course, running short on time because of that math problem. Sorry about that. I shouldn't blame the math problem. It was because of the, because of the teacher. But Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, I'm going to look through this, and I want you to notice the underlined words, the italicized words, and, of course, the bold words. I help you kind of see the point as we read through this. The underlined words, of course, relate to understanding. I think it's interesting to note wisdom, insight, understanding are all synonymous. In other words, they all mean the same thing. Okay? And then the italicized words, what do we do in order to get that understanding, insight, and wisdom? And then what comes from that? Why are we wanting to understand? And that's why I think Proverbs 2, 1 through 6 is a wonderful, wonderful passage, especially with what we're studying this month. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then... Wow, I mean, don't we want to know the then? When we read those words, don't we want to do those things and get that understanding, insight, and wisdom? And what does that lead to? We understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Okay, so of course, we're short on time to get through what you're about to see here on five different slides. It's all Scripture, which of course, when you, as I've encouraged you before, I want to encourage you again, when you have a particular thought or word that you just want to learn more about, just simply study. Get the app, get a concordance, and see where you find that. And because that's basically... I mean, you can do what I just did. That's basically all I did. I just put understand in the search, and I looked at the scriptures that, okay, not all of them. There's a lot more than what you're going to see. And then I noticed some things that we can learn from, I guess, what I'd call the grouping of those. So the first thing that came out to me, and again, we won't have time to read all these scriptures. I do encourage you as I know you're good at multitasking because you can listen to me and read the slide at the same time. But complete understanding. One of the passages said, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Don't we want to understand something completely? Of course we do. And we can only do that in the Lord. So think about complete understanding, where it comes from here. Just going to point out some phrases. I know the first bell is going to get us. Trust in the Lord on that first passage. Seek the Lord. Don't be foolish. And how we know we're not foolish? If the will of God is our focus. Okay? And then, of course, when Peter opened his mouth, said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. That's in the context, of course, of him with Cornelius. And recognizing who God was, of course, is how he better understands. And then God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. So let us be those people. And then, of course, whoever is wise, let them understand these things. How do we understand? If we understand the ways of the Lord are right. Okay, and then the last verse there, of course, Solomon could ask for anything he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. So then the next two slides will kind of go through fairly quickly. Another thing that kind of stood out to me, in fact, this was a phrase that was in a number of scriptures, make me understand or give me understanding. So it comes back on us. Okay, I know everybody sitting here recognizes the Lord is how we understand. Okay, but we've got to ask Him to make us understand. And remember the passage we just read? He looks down. He's looking for anybody who's seeking Him. So he's willing and waiting for us to want to understand. That goes back to one of those questions, guiding questions. What is motivation related to our understanding? Of course it is. We've got to want to understand. So notice all these passages make me understand. Hopefully you've read through most of those already. And noticed what goes with make me understand. Okay, and then the next slide, Psalm 119, one of my favorite chapters, and I'm sure one of yours. In fact, make me understand or give me understanding in all of those. Most of those, give me understanding. Notice what goes with give me the understanding. Keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Meditate on your wondrous works. Your hands made and fashioned me. Help me learn your command. Understand by learning your commandments. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me that understanding that I might live. Let my cry come before you. Give me that understanding according to your word. Okay, so we need to ask God. Not just daily. I think sometimes, I don't know about you and your journey, but sometimes I feel like it's moment by moment. It's not even minute by minute. It's sometimes moment by moment. But we need to ask God to make us understand. And then another thing that stood out to me from passages related to understanding or what understanding means is when Jesus said, the next slide, understand that the Father is in me. And I am in the Father, John 10 and 38. Of course, that led up to that passage that we read in chapter 12, of course. So read over those passages for time's sake. I know the other bell's about to get us, but these last two slides are probably the most important, so I apologize that we didn't spend more time on these. But again, I encourage you to jot those down and look at those later in your individual study. Next week, I am going to come up with a handout that kind of has all four lessons summarized on it for you, for those who might be interested in that. And it'll have all the passages listed, so you can go back and read some of those if you'd like. But notice when Jesus said, understand that the Father is in me. And, of course, that's what he was crying out in those verses we read, 44 through 50, what he's crying out for people to understand about him, about why he was here. And I know, by reading those passages right there, you were just blessed. And then the last point that I kind of stood out to me, and when I say that, you know, each of you as individual Bible students, you're going to understand a certain way. But for me, I always understand the best by just allowing God's Word to speak. I think we need to be cautious sometimes when we think, well, I think that means this, or I think that means this, instead of what does it say? Just simply, what does God's Word say? I think we need to be careful with that sometimes. Of course, that's related to interpretation, and that we need to be cautious with that. But just simply, as you read those passages, just simply let the Word speak, let God speak. And then the last one, understand and know Him. These were some of my favorite passages from this study. As just before the bell, last bell gets us, I do want to kind of go through these. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. And then, of course, the fruit that we bear, has to do with understanding His Word, to being the kind of soil He intends for us to be, to understand His Word. And then because of Him, we're going to yield, He's going to yield fruit through us. It's not anything we're doing, but we have to decide to be, to serve Him in that way. And then the last three, the peace, the faith, and the love, look what those have to do with understanding. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And what does it do? It'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, I almost forgot to do something I told Justin I'd do. As I know the bell just got us. Barney, Kenneth, would you guys, Chris, split these up and pass them out to everybody. Please, while I just close. Sorry about that. I should have done that at the beginning. fits good in our understanding lesson because I don't understand yet what the card's for. We're going to learn that all together. Justin asked that pass those out. It's a blank index card. It's not related to this class. It's related to his sermon this morning. But something he's going to ask, I'm guessing, kind of like the geometry. I think this is how it's going to be done. I'm not sure yet. He asked me to pass these out to you to have, and he's going to tell you what it's about during his sermon this morning. So take an index card, and you'll have to wait like me, because I don't know either, to understand what the purpose of the card is. Okay. So then back to peace, faith, and love. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. And then the last one, if I understand all mysteries and all knowledge but have not love, I am nothing. So I want to close with, we have to have faith to understand. And if we understand everything but we don't have love, doesn't mean anything. So keep that in mind. Again, I encourage you, I'll have these scriptures for you next week, all the scriptures we've had for the 4 weeks, so you can have those to go back and do more study, because obviously we can't do justice to this particular passage in four classes. So please study some more on your own. But understand. So next week, turn. See, hear, understand, and turn next week. Thanks, everybody, for coming this morning, and we'll get ready then for our worship time together.